able to see the victory before the victory's there. I'm reminded of the spies that went into the land, and you know, they had the bad reports, but two of them came back and said, no, we're well able. Yes, we see the obstacles, but the obstacles aren't what we see. We see God in front of the obstacles. Because at His Word, we're able to do it, right? Come on. He's so good. He's so good. He's so awesome. So a couple things. There's directories back there. Glory to God. They're all printed up. And so take one tonight. Hand one out. And the other thing is you know, one of the things we need to do in preparing for different things is when we know something's coming up, we need to continue to pray for it. Pray into it, right? We've got the homeless outreach coming up. We need to pray into that. We need to be believing for that. For really, we're not going out there to have notches put in our belt or anything like that. We're just going so that God can love people. Right? That's it. That's it. And so we're going to, but supernaturally love them. Right? We don't want to do it on a human term. We want God to move in such a way that people know they came in contact with God. Right? And we can believe for that, right? Glory to God. Do you know that everything Jesus did, He did out of love? Right? Everything He did. So when He was calling them dogs and when He was calling them vipers and it was out of love. Because He was trying to get to their hearts. He was trying to get them to see. He was trying to wake them up and shake them up. Right? I'm not saying we're going to go out and call them dogs or vipers on that night. No, not at all. That's not the point. But the point is that we got to go out in the power and the presence of God. Open your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Hebrews and the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to talk tonight, and I'm just praying for the Holy Spirit to help me. Talk tonight about living life. Living life. How many know that we're all in life? And it'd be wonderful if we could just come to church and everything would be a church service and we praise God and worship God, but sometimes life happens. Right? We have disappointments. We have things going on that we don't understand. But I think Hebrews chapter 12 speaks to us how to live life. How to live life. And it also points to others who've lived life and done it successfully so that we can use them as an example. Amen? So I'm excited about tonight, and I'm praying that there be revelation come to you and encouragement come to you, because at the end of the day, we win. Right? We may be going through stuff now, and things might not be the way we thought they'd be or whatever, but in the end, we win. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, when's the rapture coming? I don't know. All I know is He's coming, and when He comes, I'm going. That's all I know. I mean, I have my views, my opinions, my theology with that, but the reality is He's with me, and I'm with Him. Amen? So look at verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, every one of us have a race to run. Your race is different than mine, but they interact. Like, we're here tonight together, so our races are interacting. But there's some things in this verse that I'm not saying have been taught wrong, but we get out of this verse, and this is the verse that people use that, you know, they're up on the grandstands of heaven, and they're looking down over the grandstands, looking at how we're doing down here, and that is something that's taught, and you know, maybe that's true, but I believe what this is really saying is because of all the people that we just talked about in chapter 11, and how they went through what they went through. And they may not have even received what was promised to them, but their life lived out in faith, come on, is going to give them, you know, the promise that they were looking for. It's not dead. So because we have those as our witnesses, let's do the same thing. Come on, let's do the same thing. So I believe that God has in His Word and examples that we see. And it's like this. If He can do it, I can do it. Right? if David could kill Goliath, I can kill Goliath. Right? Come on. You know, if Moses spoke to the sea and put his, I can do the same thing. If God did it for them, He's going to do it for me. I have a witness. I mean, I've got example after example after example in the Bible where it seemed impossible, but God came through. Right? Now, if I look at myself, and we're going to see this more, if I'm looking at myself, if I'm looking at my circumstances, I'm limited to the possibilities. But when I look to Him, when I look to the example of how God came through for Samson, God came through for, you know, Joshua, God came through for Peter, God came through for Paul, He's going to do the same thing for me. So because of that, because of the witness that we have and what God's done for others and through others, let's take a look at our life through that and run our race with that example. Now look at it, it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I like that. The word cloud in this particular thing, it speaks to a group, a big group. And that speaks to me that old thing that, you know, I'm all in this by myself. Nobody's ever done this before. Nobody's gone this way. How come everybody's always picking on me? It's like you're not the lone stranger, right? And there's others who've been in the same situation as you or worse, and God's come through for them. And if He did for them, He's going to do for us. But look at this. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. You know, there are things that come up in our lives that are going to keep us from getting where we need to go. And what we have to do is we have to lay them aside. I love this analogy because it's kind of a sports analogy, and I'm into sports, right? So think about this. You're running a race, and you want to run faster. Did you know that somebody that's running a sprint in the Olympics, right, they're running a sprint in the Olympics, they don't have on a full fatigue with a backpack. In fact, some of them, you know, you look at them and go, man, put some clothes on, right? Or the clothes that they have on are fitting such a way that they'll split the wind. They'll go through the wind so that there's no resistance. So God said, man, if you really want to run the race and be as effective and get the most out of the race and your best chance of winning is to put this stuff aside, right? And understand that sin and anything that would lead us to not follow God is going to ensnare us, right? What does ensnare mean? It means a trap. And all sin is a trap, right? Because what is sin? Sin is us going after lust of something that's not right with God, right? I mean, and it looks good, smells good, might even feel good, but there's a trap at the end of it, right? And we got to just say, no, thank you, Mr. Devil. I'll just stay away from that because I got to run the race. A race to run, I mean, a run to race. Come on, yeah, I know you did. Well, you speak Spanish, so it's, yeah. So look at, we have something to do for God. You might think, yeah, I had something to do, God, when I was 20, but not now, not anymore. That's not true. Every day that I'm breathing, I got something. I've got a potential in front of me, right, to run. It's so good. But I'm not going to let anything hold me back. I'm going to get all that stuff off of me that's holding me back, and I'm going to run. I'm going to get up and run. How many know that if we decided tonight to listen, tomorrow I'm going to run a marathon? But if we decided, now listen, God, I really believe you want me to run a marathon. So tomorrow's my first day of getting ready for the marathon. Right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to start out slow, but build myself up. But so we're in a race. And maybe we haven't been running the race the way that we're supposed to run it. Maybe our life isn't gone the way we want it to go. But it's time not to necessarily swing for the fences, but get up and do the first things right. Right? Remember when in the book of Revelation, when John was speaking and the Lord spoke to the church and he said, "Listen, I've got this one thing against you. One thing, that's all. One thing against you. You've left your first love." He said, "Repent and go back and do the first things." Some of us in running our race for Jesus, we've gotten caught up in so many different things that we forgot that the main reason that we're running is because we love Him. And that He loves us. And that we just can't do enough for Him. Right? And we get into this performance-based thing that I've got to do this and I've got to do this and I've got to do this and I've got to do this in order for God to love me, when the reality is He loves me whether I do it or I don't do it, right? So I need to get back to that He loves me. And out of my natural reaction to His love, then my life is going to be lived out a certain way. Right? Come on. It's first of all, why do we not want to sin or get weighed down by sin? Well, because sin is dumb. Let me say that again. Sin is dumb. If God says don't do something, right, then there's a reason that He doesn't want us to do that. He's not a killjoy trying to take away all of our fun. Right? But what He wants us to have a life that's lived out in peace and joy and contentment and happiness, right? Now watch this. Let's go on verse 2. I like this. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, that He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus. I forget which translation it is, but I love this translation. It says, "Fixing your eyes on Jesus." Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? That's the starting point, the ending point of our faith. That's it. So what do I need to do? I need to look at Jesus. And why is that? Because when you're looking at Jesus, you're headed in the direction that you're supposed to go. A few years ago, I started riding a motorcycle again. And I hadn't ridden one in 30 years. So I took this course, right? A motorcycle training course. And they tell you when you're trying to turn a motorcycle, don't look at where you are, look at where you want to be. Right? Because if you look at where you are going this way, that's the way the motorcycle is going to go. But if you look over here, the bike will go that way. It's the hardest thing in the world to do because you're shaky and you're trying to, and you're looking at, oh, that's over there, but I'm going to go over here. But to turn your head around, then the bike will follow. Right? Because you're looking in the direction that you want to go. If you don't, if you're looking off at something else and you're not looking to Jesus, you're going to get in the ditch over here. Believe me, I've experienced that in my you know, learning how to ride again. But the reality is it's training yourself against what you're used to going against that, to look at something different. Right? We often look at, well, I've got to look at the economy. I've got to look at this. I've got to look at that. I've got to look at how other people are treating me. I've got to look at all of these things. And God is saying, no. You're running a race. The best way to run a race is keep your eyes on Jesus. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Glory to God. There was a book years ago, and it was dealing with a particular subject on a lust subject, and they said, what you have to do is you have to on purpose divert your eyes away from the sin that you're gravitating toward. You have to divert your eyes. In other words, I get this picture. You remember There's some in here who know much more about this than I do. I know nothing. But if you get a horse that you want to, you know, to go in a certain direction, like pulling a wagon or pulling something, you put blinders on them so that they can only see this. And when with us living our lives, we need to put some blinders on and say, no, it's just about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, I'm just looking at Jesus. Yeah, but you better take a look at this because you're going to go down in this direction. I'm just looking at Jesus. Well, my body hurts and my body aches and the doctor says this and the doctor says that. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, I've got friends arguing with me about the COVID shot, whether I should take it, whether I shouldn't take it, you know, whether it's this or that and conspiracy theories and everything on the internet going all over. Take your eyes off all of that. Get it right back on Jesus. Because we're running a race. We want to live our lives right. Let's run the race. But we've got to run our race with Jesus as our motive, Jesus as our plan, Jesus as our prize. Come on. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. Some of you will remember, and I use this illustration often, when we first started, in fact, before A New Beginning was the church that A New Beginning sprung out of, there was a man named Tex. And you remember Tex? Yeah. Bessie was a saint. I call her Saint Bessie. She's home with the Lord. But Tex was her husband. And we'd start worshiping. And I can see him today as I'm saying this. We'd start worshiping. And it didn't matter. When we started to get in the presence of God, he'd just go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And just start bawling. Because in the midst of his presence, he was seeing Jesus. His eyes were on Jesus. And I've often thought, Lord, that the purity of that just is incredible. And so what am I saying? We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. We have to look at Jesus. What are you going through? I'm going through a lot. People around me are saying this and doing that, and nobody likes me, and I've offended a bunch of people. How do you live your life? You look at Jesus. You get your eyes off of them and look to Jesus. You ask Jesus, Lord, what's my part in all of this? And if I need to change something, Lord, I can't do it on my own anyway. Right? I can't fix me. Have you figured that out? You can't fix you. And you sure as heck can't fix anybody else. Right? So quit trying. And say, Jesus, here I am. This one lady, she and her husband got saved, and they were just in love with Jesus. And as she was getting saved, she said, Jesus, if you can do anything with this, you're welcome to it. She's preached the gospel all over the world because she was looking at Jesus. He's not just the author. He's not just at the beginning of our... He's the finisher of our faith. We're complete in Him. Everything that we can do for Him is because we're in Him. We need to look at Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Word of God. Who is Jesus? He's the Alpha and the Omega. Who is Jesus? Come on. He's the soon coming King. Who is Jesus? Come on, you just go on and on and on and on. That Jesus is the one that we're based after. Jesus is the one that we're going through. Jesus is everything to us. Why do we preach Jesus? Why do we live Jesus? When life gets me down, who do I need to look at? Jesus. When somebody has made me mad, who do I need to look at? Jesus. When disappointment has happened to me, who do I need to look at? Jesus. Come on, if we're going to run our race, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Has anybody ever gotten their eyes off of Jesus, right? And life kind of goes, but not right away, right? It's like going down a mountain, and you're just going down the mountain just a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's getting further and further, and all of a sudden you go, oh my, right? I'm rolling down that mountain. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. When? All the time. All the time. Wake up tomorrow morning. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We wash all of our thoughts through Jesus. We wash all of our actions through Jesus. I was telling Scott earlier today, I said, you know, I've read through the Bible and I was, Lord, do you want me to start back over in Genesis? And he said, no, I just want you to read the Gospels. And I said, that's good, but why do you want me to read the Gospels? He said, I just want you to see what I did and do it. I just want you to hear what I said and say it. I just want you to see who I am and be it. I thought, well, okay, right? Okay. But he was the perfect example for us. You know, oftentimes we go, well, you know, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, you know, they were really good with God and they were really being promoted, but they did something stupid and fell. And so that's affected my faith. That's because you had your eyes on the wrong place, right? They aren't Jesus. But I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, right? Lord, if you're with me, it nothing else matters. Are you with me tonight? Come on, we got to be looking at Jesus. Listen to this. He's our example, right? Jesus is my example. Now, think about these next verses and what they say. If he's my example, and if I'm looking at him and I'm trying to imitate him, I want to be just like him. It says that, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. What does that mean? Look at what he went through. It's going to go on to say that none of you have even come close to that. Right? And I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. But why did he do it? He did it because he had a prize out in front of him. He had the will of God out in front of him. See, if we're going to run our race, we're going to have to put up with stuff. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If we're going to run our race, we're going to have to put up with some stuff. But we have to, in the midst of the stuff, keep our eyes on Jesus and then look at what's in front of us, not what's around us. Right? Because stuff around us will get us to the point where we're no longer looking at him. Come on. If God be for me, who can be against me? Right? If God is for me, then what man can stand in the place of God? Or why should I put men in the place of God? And anything that I've gone through suffering for Jesus has nothing compared to what he went through. Verse 4 says, for you have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. He did. He did. Not only on the cross, not only when he was in the middle of the battle, but his will going into the battle. It said it was so intense in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood. Think about how intense that was. Jesus, I'm fighting to do your will, but I'm keeping my eyes on what you did. You're my example, and if you could go through that, I can go through that. There's nothing that you did, Father, that through Jesus, that, Father, I wouldn't do the same because I want to follow his example. I can't do it on my own. I have to do it with you. You have to help me. But the reality is I'm going to keep Jesus as my example, not anybody else. I'm not going to look at somebody else's successes or failures. I'm going to look to Jesus. And really, you remember in Psalm 51 where David said, Lord, it's against you, and you only have I sinned and done this thing in your sight. And I'm thinking, what? How about all the people, the other people that were involved with that sin? But the reality is, everything in our lives is between us and God. Right? It's between me and God. God's not going to let you get up there and say, well, you know, I would have done that, but, you know, that wife you gave me. Or I would have done that, but you know, those people that were around me, right? If they would have just, no, he's not interested in any of that. He's saying, what did I say to you? What did I ask you to do? You know, come on. I've said it often, and I'll keep saying it. Is that success, to be a successful Christian, is really simple. Hear and obey. And that's between you and Jesus. Come on. And the Holy Spirit's there to reveal what He wants for you. He's there to reveal the plan that He has for you. He's there to reveal your future. And He's always pointing to our Messiah, to Jesus. Glory to God. Verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? I love this. First of all, God speaks to me not as a servant, as a son. Right? I'm not a second-class citizen. I'm not barely getting in. I'm a child and I belong there. But He speaks to me like I'm family. He said, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Isn't that good news? And most of us look at that and we go, oh yeah, God's spanking me. But really the word here where it talks about chastens, it really is a more inclusive word, is the same thing that you think about when raising children. I'm disciplining them so that the outcome will be them reaching their full potential, right? So that they won't be brats, right? Come on. Why do I say they can't have the candy? Because I want them to live healthy, right? Why do I do all this? Because their best interest is at the heart of why I'm doing it. And so when God puts us in a position where He's showing us our hearts, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it feels like, God, this is so hard. He says, I know it's hard, but His love for us says, do it. Come on, just keep doing it. You know, quit that. Quit doing that. You know, forgive them, right? Bless them. I don't want to bless them. I said bless them, right? Jesus doesn't always speak to us like, oh, you're my beloved little baby. If you're really listening to Him, sometimes He says, grow up. This isn't about you. You do what I tell you to do. Why? Because He's trying to pull us out from where we are so that we can reach the potential. Glory to God. And how many like a good rebuke? I just love it when people come and rebuke me. I hate it just like you do. But I've determined that Proverbs says a wise man will listen to a rebuke and grow by it. In other words, I'm not saying that somebody that comes up to rebuke you is always right. But when God does it, He's right. Right? When He does it, and I just wonder about people who, are saying all the time, well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me that. Well, why didn't God tell you to quit lying? Right? Why didn't God tell you to quit doing that behavior that everybody sees? It's like, So for us, it's like, Lord, I want to hear from You whatever You have to say. In fact, I welcome it when You show me my heart and the adjustments that I need to make in it. Because I know Your motivation for me is for me. If you endure, verse 7, chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I want to be a son. I want to be a son. So, Lord, I want to hear when I'm wrong. I welcome you telling me when I'm not living the way that I need to. Because back in 1977, August, it was a Tuesday night, I gave my heart to you. And I said, I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. At that moment, I gave him permission to rule me however he sees fit. It's always for my good, but it may not always be for my liking. I may not like forgiving. I may not like blessing. I may not like giving up certain things that I want. But I'm going to live my life out for him because he's the Lord of my life. Glory to God. Because I want to be a son. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall not we much more readily be subject to the Father of spirits and live? You know, God is pretty cool. But God is God. He is the creator of the universe. He's the one who holds the stars in place. He's the one, come on, that made everything. And so therefore, he deserves our honor, our respect, our respect. I've said this before, but in my life, I always wanted my father to be pleased with me, my earthly father. And I think most sons are like that. We just want to please our father. And so there was, I played basketball when I was a kid, but in ninth grade I didn't play basketball. And my dad made a comment to me about that. He said something, and it was just a passing thought to him. But you were pretty good at basketball, and it was like you could hear a little bit of disappointment that I wasn't playing at that time. So then I played basketball in high school. Why? Because I want my dad to be, I wanted to honor who he wanted me to be. So when living out our lives, we need to live our lives out in such a way that, God, I want to honor you with how I live my life. I want my life to honor you, God. Oh, come on, people. I want people to see me and say, there's somebody that's not making excuses, that's living their life out honestly for God. They're authentic. You know, I may not like what they're doing. I may not even like their lifestyle, but I know they're pursuing God with all of their heart. And I'm not doing it for their reaction. I'm doing it for one thing. I want to honor him, and I want to please him, because he's my father. See, we can't run our race for anybody else but him. We have to choose to do it, but we do it for him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go on, because this is so good. Verse 10 says, "For if indeed for a few days chastening for us seems best to them, but it is for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." In other words, nobody likes going through it, but the end result is we'll be closer to him. And when I say closer to him, I'm not talking about relationally, because we've already been made close to him by the blood of Jesus. But what I'm talking about, we'll act more like him, we'll talk more like him, we'll be more like him. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's really interesting, because I think you go back to raising kids, and you know, not every child is alike, right? They all came from the same place, but it's like I need a separate owner's manual for each one, right? Because they're wired different, right? But here's the deal. They're all wired for purpose. And my objective as their caretaker is to get them to the place where I lead them in such a way that they can reach the everything that God had purposed for them to do. Right? And so that's what God is doing with us. That's what God is doing with you. That's what He's doing with me. That's what He did with all of the witnesses that He had before, with Abraham, with Sarah, you know, go right on that, with Noah, with Esau, all of them going all the way down. He said He had a plan for them and He had a purpose for them. And those that followed after His plan did great and mighty things, and they're in the actual, you know, Faith Hall of Fame. Right? Because God didn't look at the accomplished as much as the obedience, the endurance. Come on. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to just hang in there. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what I want. I don't want my life to be full of confusion, to be full of bitterness, to be full of hatred, to keep going around the mountain the same way over and over and over again because I'm not obeying what He told me to do in the first place. Right? So I got to look at Jesus rather than to look at the way I want it and do what He tells me to do, because if I do, and I make adjustments in my heart by what He's telling me to do, then the result of that is going to be peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Isn't that interesting? Trained by it. What does that mean? That means that you are now disciplined in the art of doing what He wants you to do. So it's an automatic, it's the chastening process is because it's hard for you at the beginning because you're not used to it. But as you go through it and go through it and go through it, it becomes an automatic. I know one pastor, he says, you can't offend me. Well, what do you mean I can't offend you? I can try. He says, you can't offend me because I've already forgiven you. Yeah, but I haven't done anything. It's all right. Because in my heart, I've been trained to not walk in offense. It says, take no offense. So I've went through the training and God has corrected my heart. And it's been hard because I've wanted to be offended. And people do really stupid things. And it's easy to get offended by some of the stupid things that people do. Or especially my perception of what they do. But I've trained myself through God taking me through the hardness of walking through that and say, oh, nope, I can't be offended. I can't be offended. I want to be offended, but I can't be offended. I can't. But I want to, but He said not to. And going through that discipline of the end, you go, there's peace. That person did something stupid. And it did hurt. But I have peace because I know that my heart is right with God. See, that's good. But in order for you to get from the broken person that you are that always lashes out because of things that have happened in the past, you got to go through the Word of God and God speaking to you and you becoming obedient to the Word of God and go through that to the end where you have peace where there was turmoil. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that your life is full of peace rather than strife. And if we look at that, we go, man, my life just seems to always be swirling. There's always peace. There's always stuff going around. You got to look back and go, okay, God, what is it in me that needs to change so that that stops? Because I want that stopped. And I can't stop it for everybody, but I can stop it for me. I'm looking to Jesus. What did Jesus do? The storm came, what did he do? He went to sleep in the back of the boat. Right? So if that's what he did, that's what I want to do. So the whirlwind can be coming, and this family member might be against me, and that family member might be saying this, and you know, this might be happening, and the government's coming against me, and all of that, but it's all right, I'm going to take a nap. Why? Because God spoke to me to go to the other side, and I told you fellows we're going to the other side. So I know that we're going to get to the other side because God spoke to me that we're going to the other side. So I can sleep in the back of the boat when the waves are coming over, because those are just, you know, temporary things that don't supersede what God said. Glory, come on. And I don't get there without going through God shaping me, disciplining me, get me to the place where I need to be. Glory to God, but I'm getting there. How do I get there? Step by step. And the whole step, I'm looking at Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My life is about you. Now listen to what he says. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down. And the feeble knees. Strengthen them. What does that mean? Get up, boy. You've been whining. You've been complaining. You've been going through stuff. I don't doubt it. And some of it is because other people are stupid. Some of it may even be because the devil's on your case. Some of it's because you did stupid things in the past and you're just eating the fruit of that. But it doesn't matter. All of those, put those aside and get your eyes back on Jesus and strengthen yourself. Get back up. Get back in the race. Come on. Come on. Because you still got a race to run. You got some place to go. Yeah, but you don't understand. If I'd have only done it 30 years ago. Listen, it's all perspective. It's all perspective. I can't do anything about yesterday, but I can do something about tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to live another day or 10 years or 20 years, but what I'm determined to do is look at Jesus today, do what he tells me to do today, and I know that at the end of the race, I'll be where I'm supposed to be. Glory to God. There's a man. I'm not going to mention who he is, but I just thought this was great. He's 85 years old. He still flies jet planes. He had to just go through a training that is grueling. I mean, it's like an 11-day course in order to fly this particular plane. Grueling. 85 years old. Now, did you know that commercial airline pilots are forced to retire at 65? They can't fly anymore. Why? Because society says that's when your brain goes dead, you know, and you can't do the things that you used to do, whatever. But this man believes God's called him to fly. And so he went through all the training. He trusted God. He did things in the natural. Watch this. Walking this out, it was a couple years ago that God told him, I want you to get on the treadmill. I want you to start working out with weights. God, I hate that. You know, he'd go look at him and go, I hate this. But God switched his mind because he was chastening him. He was getting him where he wanted him to be so that he could fulfill his destiny. I hate this. And God said, stop it. You change your perspective right now. You straighten up, boy. Right? So then he started doing it and started speaking things out of his mouth. I love this. I love the results that I'm getting. And so that was part of the process to get him to where he could pass that course at 85, and he's flying the fastest private jets in the world at 85. So are we going to run our race like our race is over today because of our age, because of our circumstances, are we going to stop? Or are we going to say, no, bless God, I'm pushing on. I'm pursuing. I'm not stopping. And God, I'm going to get there because I'm going to follow you no matter what. And I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. How do we keep our eyes on Jesus? You come to His Word, and you let His Word, because He is the Word, right? You let that be our guide. You let that be, Lord, what does Your Word say? Jesus, here's what they're saying, but what does Your Word say? This is what I'm feeling, Lord, but what does Your Word say? This is what I see out in front, but what have You spoken to my heart? If You said, I'm going to preach over here, God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I could have done it 20 years, 30 years. It's in my future because I'm still running the race. I'm still going to get to where I'm supposed to go. If You call me to heal the sick, Lord, I'm going to still lay hands on the sick because that's what You've called me to do. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. So therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that the what was lame may be not dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without no one will see the Lord. See, if you're going to follow after Jesus, you have to do it on purpose. And you have to set your face like a flint towards something. And I'm going for this thing. I'm going for holiness. I'm going for peace. I'm going for the will of God. The rest of my life, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning going for the will of God. And if I mess up, if I slip up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pursue. I'm going to continue to pursue what He has for me, because I need to finish the course. But I'm not going to finish the course by living in such a way where I'm compromising who Jesus is and what He's told me to do and what He said in His Word. Right? I don't pursue Jesus. Now watch this. This might offend people. I don't care. I'm not going to pursue Jesus when I'm trying to justify my sin by saying, well, you know, it's grace, grace. God has mercy on us, and that's just who I am anyway. You know, I mean, that's just, I'm an angry person. My dad was angry. My grandpa was angry. Listen, did you get born again or not? Because if you got born again, that bloodline stopped, and you now have the blood of Jesus running through your veins, and you have no more excuses because sin reigned in your body. But when Christ came into your heart, His life now reigns in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have no excuses. Excuses are just lies of deception by the enemy that want to keep us from the potential that God has for us. Glory to God. This church will do great things for God. We've watched God do great things in the past, but this church, even though we may not be 30 anymore, 40 anymore, 50 anymore, I'm not going any further. 50 anymore. Right? We're going to do great things for God. Why? Because we're pursuing Him. We're pursuing Him. We're going to be His hands. We're going to be His feet. Because He is in us and He's with us. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get up and I'm going to pursue it with all of my heart. Look at this. Now watch this. Pursue peace with all people. You know you have to pursue peace. Yeah, it doesn't come automatic. Because some people are just ugly. Right? I mean, some people are just contrary. Right? Sometimes you have to pursue it. But it didn't say pursue peace if they're, you know, if they want to pursue it. No, we have to do it because we're looking after Jesus. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. I'm not going to get through everything I need to tonight, but it's okay. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for the morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. I don't want to wake up 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, and go, oh, what could have been? I want to pursue Jesus today. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus tonight. I want to wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus. and fulfilling His will for my life and not my own. Amen? Y'all get something tonight? We got to stop there. How many want to pursue Jesus? Glory to God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Father, we just come before You and I thank You, Lord. All of us listening on the internet, here in the room, Lord, we just thank You for the love of Jesus. And if we've gone astray, if we've gone aside, if we've been thinking about what we're not supposed to be thinking, and if we've been looking at idols, if we've been looking at ourselves, if we've been looking at different, Lord, we're just turning our eyes back to You tonight, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You give me a heart to pray. You give me a heart to worship. You give me a heart to be a servant for You and to help others. And Lord, I just thank You tonight for Your loving care. We're coming back to You. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just kneel right where you are. Just talk to Him and say, Jesus, I need You. I know I can't be right with God on my own. I need a Savior. So I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And to the best of my ability, with Your help, I'll live for You for the rest of my life. If you said that and meant it in your heart, you just changed fathers. Because you're now of the Father in heaven. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.